how sometimes it's like being a manager on the sidelines when you're doing the midweek drive, as indeed Andrew David will attest to, you know, with obviously his superb show on Mondays, because you've been on that as well, have you not?
I certainly have, yeah. And he just ran it like a top.
He just ran it like a top. But no, I can't ask which one you prefer, obviously. No.
Unfair question.
It is. Yeah, it's understandable. I
like you both enormously.
Well, played.
There you are. Anyway, and Nikki, of course, you're due to be appearing on the Rock Train, I believe, or have you been on the Rock Train?
No. And I don't know. I'll go anywhere as long as I'm welcome.
But. Steady, you know, that could
steady.
Be always welcome in all sorts of ways. Gabriella, you know, before she emerged as being one of the midweek drivette's finest. You know,
thank you.
Exactly. You know, she was lost in the mists of the kind of the grey area of news broadcasting, etc.
Here I am.
She's a
rock
of Gibraltar.
Rock of Siren, precisely. That's right. Very true. Somebody who might have been listening to us, but she's so busy in her own routine, it's amazing. But I did like her latest Facebook scenario, which contrasts sort of financial advising things with respect to wonderful stuff. In fact, I won't even attempt to describe it. I'll actually sort of just hopefully pull it up on the system. Whilst we say Melanie Crouch from the fabulous world of MapleStar Music and Media UK branch, welcome back to the Midweek Drive.
Hello, everyone. It sounds very busy there in the studio today.
Windy.
It's not windy in the studio. What are you saying?
We don't have the window.
Don't
open
pay
here.
Any
come
attention
on.
To him, Mel.
Exactly.
He's in the zone.
Oh, well, you know, one zone, two zone, etc. So, film producer's photograph. I don't know, would you like to describe that particular sharing that Melanie has done? Instead of, you know, like Phil Linus saying, I'm just about to be on air and sort through various other bits and pieces, what have we actually got there in terms of client budget and indeed client brief?
Oh, harsh realities, I should say.
Harsh realities.
I like the expression on the cat.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've looked at that.
Yeah. Because, Melanie, as Phil Linus would attest to, you put things on Facebook, it's in the public domain. You can't expect us not to actually make comments on that little basis if you put those things up there. You know?
Certainly the background you could have photoshopped. I mean, yeah. Where is the chap with the cat? It looks like...
I don't know. Well, it is very true, though, you know, because managing clients' expectations with their budgets is a major part of my life. And I saw that little picture on Facebook, and it just cheered me up enormously today.
Mm. But have you shown it to any of your clients?
It's on Facebook.
Well, I think they will have seen it.
I have to say, I'm more intrigued by the pair of... wonky legs that just peeking at the top of Alex's screen, just right above your post.
Yes,
that's
a completely different line there.
I take it back.
Louise Hobson changing her profile picture, not known to anybody else, but she used to be an undergraduate at the University of Teesside. There we are.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
sorted.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not wonky legs at all, once you can see the whole picture.
Once again, Nikki shows her gift for Germanic diplomacy.
Well,
there.
No, it's you know, it goes right with the client brief and client budget. You need the whole picture.
Well, of course you do. Exactly.
Absolutely.
So there we have it. Okay.
And you need a grumpy cat.
A little update on the sort of system there. Splendid. Right, now, we were thinking about what's the best tune for Melanie to actually bring along today. And, you know, Cameron, 48 hours beforehand, sends me the stuff, all the ample time to actually get uploaded, etc. Melanie's too busy to do things like that. So we said, maybe for next week, we'll actually have a whole new experience when, of course, you'll be on the Thursday. But Melanie, and I kid thee not, creator of Sophie's romance trilogy, Nikki Wells, she did say Tusk featuring Sophie, love
Yay.
Me better. That's what we should. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Melanie?
You know? Yeah, brilliant.
So come on, Nikki, explain the background behind this because it is important. You might like to get the books out as well. I mean, not that we're on webcam, but you know.
Well, I'd have to turn from the microphone. To get the books out, which is a no-no, so I'll do that later.
Nobody will know. I could lower your channel, actually. Gabriella could tap
you
dance
do
and film.
You really like me today. So once upon a time, I wrote three books called the Rockstar Romance Trilogy, as Mel, I think, well knows, Sophie's Turn, Sophie's Run, and Sophie's Encore. And the books centre around a rock star by the name of Dan, who headlines and who features in a band called Tusk, T-U-S-C-K. Cube.
Nothing to do with elephants or
Fleetwood
Mac.
Well, unbelievably, the band was actually used to be called Tusk with a K, and there is a rock band out there called Tusk, so it was all a bit dicey, so we decided... So
are you chewing the phone, Melanie, at present?
No, I think it's creaking. The battery's died on the other one.
Oh, no!
Christmas, maybe, I thought.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Girls with our creaky seats.
So, steady on. We'll get this ship home if it's the last thing I say,
yeah,
Captain.
Yeah, we'll limp over the
this
arc. I'm doing that like can, Captain.
Exactly. That cannot change the laws of physics. Sorry.
And so what happened is this band came to life, and I suddenly got a scratch demo in my inbox with just a piano and the female vocal.
Scratch demo, of course, meaning?
Very rough outline of what is going to sound like.
Did you know what a scratch demo was going
on? I had no idea.
There we are, you see.
Yeah, no idea.
And I cried. And then they took it further.
Isn't that bad?
No, it was beautiful. It was, I had a song in mind when I wrote the original outline for the book and the lyrics, which were completely adapted, obviously, to fit the song. But that's, I had in mind an 80s power ballad, pretty much as it is, duet. And I cried. And then they took it further. They got a male singer on board whose name is Dan. They got Alan Glass to produce it, which had me on the floor. He has produced Earth, Wind and Fire, Aretha Franklin. I mean, we're talking big guns here for my fictional band, which is now a reality.
Yeah,
and it's just like, oh, my God.
You step through the doors of Siren, magic happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I have this on constant play, needless to say. I do a good hairbrush singing scenario of doing the female version. I just... Yeah, John sort of sometimes.
Should we play it then?
Yeah, let's play it.
Of time before that's featured on a Simon Callow production, I sense. Holly, wonderful stuff, really.
Oh, I love this song.
So what did you make of it, as it was your choice, Melanie Crouch?
Oh, I love that song. It's just one of these records that just grows on you and you feel like you've known it for years. I mean, I've probably heard it probably 100 times since it was released, but I feel like it goes back to the 80s. It takes me back.
And that was the exact intended effect. It's just perfect.
But that's obviously what the official line is. Gabriella, what do you make of the...
I really liked it. It was really good.
That's
okay.
And it was really
uplifting. It definitely nostalgic for me. I grew up in the 80s, so...
And a perfect song for Valentine's Day. Love me better. No one could love me better.
Well, there we have it. Yes, exactly.
Who
okay.
roses?
Exactly, particularly with the current costs and scenarios, and most of them are flowing in from overseas in any case. Get a rose bush. There's a tip. Get a rose bush. Then it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, not bad.
Anyway, never let me say I don't have a romantic bone in my body. I try to have it excised, but every so often. Moving on, last two questions for Melanie Crouch, who will hopefully be back with us next Thursday with tunes, etc. Anna. Marie, would you like to throw those last two questions? I sense you're ready for it now.
I've been paying attention, is what you're saying.
I know it's a critical thing, etc.
I might not do it as mellifluously as you. Can you say that quickly?
Mellifluously is fantastic. Exactly. It's always good.
Yes.
Sports commentary. See, mellifluous.
Well, I basically, have you enjoyed speaking with us this week?
Oh, it's been brilliant as usual. Thank you very much for having me.
And would we have the pleasure of having your company again on Siren FM?
I might need to think about that and possibly email Alex later in the week.
Conditions, eh?
It is Valentine's Day coming up in the time of intrigue, so...
I don't believe
this is something I've got to see. Is he here? I look in the pool hall. Well, is he here? I look in the drugstore. Is he here? No, he don't come here no more. Well, I tell you what, I saw him. He was sitting.
I should hope he'd actually seen him or she'd seen him. Chucky's in love, after all. Astonishingly, it's been too long since we last featured our ace New York correspondent, the main man from the Big Apple, he who actually has now actually written his second book. The first one is available. You get autographed copies and all sorts of things from Gabby.com. He is the legend that is Peter Franklin. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Live from the streets of New York.
There you are, you see. Happiness personified. We have three fabulous ladies in the studio, Peter. I shall introduce you to them. We have from Gibraltar, Gabriella Peralta from the island of Gibraltar.
Hey.
We also have Nikki Wells, originally from Germany, spent some time in the States, and now author of not one, not two, but three books and a Christmas novella.
Hiya.
Nikki
Hello.
Wells. And we have a science historian extraordinaire. That would be the lovely Dr. Anna Marie Roos.
Greetings. Hope you're doing well.
From which part of the country, Anna Marie?
Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado. She has to ski.
Well, it just goes to show. Have you ever been to New York City?
I certainly have. Yeah. I was in a New York cab, and I cowered in the corner and shut my eyes and let him get to where he needed to get me to go.
Yeah. Do you know, Polite Peter, that initially, when I said you'd had background in the army as a medic and all that, she said, oh, does he drive his New York cab like he was in the army? I said, I'm doing perfectly safely. Or, let's be honest, Peter, it's a yellow mobile conveyance lounge.
Yeah, well, that's right, and that's what I like to call it, because if you can't elevate what you're doing in life, you know, who is going to elevate what you're doing in life? So that's why I call it my yellow mobile conveyance lounge.
Love it.
Yeah, you should feature him in your next book, Nikki.
Well, funnily enough, I might have to pick his brain on some local knowledge, but that would be hush.
Sure. Nothing better than having you in the back of my cab.
There we are.
That statement could be misconstrued.
Lordy Lord, it is Valentine's almost.
That's my intent. When there's three women in one room with a guy, I'm drooling with envy.
You're outnumbered. There's too much estrogen in the room.
Rest assured, we are one side of the desk, he's the other.
So
we're divided by a bank of monitors.
Please, there we are. Let's move on to one of the classic stories, one of many, but several we're going to consider today with you, Peter. And that, of course, is the notion of the boss of the company that does the wash for the Waldorf Astoria, who actually threw hot coffee into the eyes of union organisers, just like a scene from an old movie with Jimmy Cagney. What's happening?
And, you know, that's what people are talking about. I mean, in itself, unless you happen to be the person who got the hot coffee in your face, it's not exactly the biggest news story in a world that's filled with famine, pestilence, and what have you. But in New York, it's hit a nerve. And the reason it's hit a nerve is that it's, like, almost corny, you know? I mean, here's a company that does the wash, meaning the linens and the towels and the tablecloths, the Waldorf Astoria. And their union people are trying to negotiate a better deal with the company, not really with the Waldorf, but, you know, the fact that it involved the Waldorf gave it a little extra something. And so there they are meeting and having a dispute, and the owner of the company that is doing the work for the Waldorf gets very angry. He has coffee in his hand, and he throws it in the faces of the union organizers. Now, not to alarm anybody, I can report that nobody was seriously hurt or scarred for the rest of their lives, but the whole thing was like corny, you know, like it was from a Jimmy Cagney, Edward G. Robinson movie, and you kind of figure that stuff doesn't go on in 2014. You know, people always say to me, you know, where's the mafia in New York now? I say, oh, they work for the banks. So it was sort of like a blast from the past, and everybody's enjoying it because nobody was seriously hurt. By the way, the guy was arrested because the only person who can come to New York City and hurt another individual and walk out free is a guy named Russell Crowe.
Never mind.
Exactly. Fair comment. Yeah. Just as we were about to invite him to be on the show as well. Never mind. It's okay. On a serious note, but keeping the acting theme going, Peter, tragic news in many ways, losing Philip Seymour Hoffman, but you do want to make a point that actually this is not unique. It's a tragedy that occurs throughout New York and indeed other states in terms of drug abuse, etc. You had a couple of interesting points that you made about, obviously, the media coverage of Philip Seymour Hoffman's passing.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the drug addiction in the United States is absolutely terrible. I mean, if anybody is under the delusion that it isn't, I mean, it's just wall-to-wall drugs in this country of mine, which I love desperately, but I'm going to admit it, whereas I guess our Chamber of Commerce and our government won't. The good thing that came out of this gentleman's death is that it was a lot of attention has been drawn to it as a problem. And the reason why I say that's a good thing, I did a little, you know, looking up because I am your chief correspondent in New York, and I found that last year in New York City, which has about 8.5 million people, we had 71 cases of death by overdose. So you might say, hey, that's not such a big deal, just one other guy. Well, because it turned out to be such a famous guy, it's been made a big deal by the media. They go on and on and on about it. There hasn't been a day since it happened that there hasn't been some story about him. And I think that's good. Not good that he died, of course, but good that it's drawing the attention. It's nice when bad things happen, not that I'm wishing it on anybody, but it's nice when bad things happen to famous people, you know, or they end up with a certain disease or they have a certain problem, because then all of a sudden we're talking about it the way we should be talking about it.
Yeah, where addiction should be, it is a disease, and people should treat it in a compassionate manner, really, and someone's with some understanding, yeah. I mean, I saw an article in the New York Times, actually, about the import of heroin from Mexico into, you know, even small towns in the upper Midwest, and these are kids who are going to raves and things like that, and they're getting introduced to it at a very early age and getting hooked on it, and these are young lives that are being destroyed. So if more attention can be drawn to this problem, that's a good thing.
Absolutely agree, but slightly changing tack. I noticed, what's your issue with graffiti?
What is your issue with graffiti, Peter?
What, say that again, because we get that broke up a little in the train.
Sorry. I just noticed on the list of things you're going to be talking about this week, you have an issue with graffiti. Apparently
with graffiti.
The Museum of New York.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that also is a bad situation, but a funny situation, I think. We have a museum here in New York City called the Museum of the City of New York. It's a wonderful museum, and I would highly recommend it to anybody who's coming to New York. It's not run by the city. It's a private museum like any other private museum, but it's called the Museum of the City of New York. And they are currently having an exhibit on graffiti. And if you read the reviews of the exhibit and you go to see the exhibit, as I haven't had a chance to, but I will, you know, this is a wonderful art form. It's a wonderful art form. But to that I say, wait a minute. It's a wonderful art form on my roof, on my building, on my fence, on my subway cars. I don't think so. So here's the plan. Alex is going to come to New York. We're going to get a couple of cans of spray paint, and we're going to go over to the museum, and on their walls on the outside of their building, we're going to do some spray paint.
I've got the baseball hat, which I'm going to wear backwards, Peter, if that's all right. So yeah. I'll be good for that.
I don't think they're going to think it's an art form when it's on the side of their building. Mm. So, you know, let's put things in their proper perspective.
Absolutely. I have a split opinion on graffiti, because I think there's just destructive graffiti in the wrong place, such as plain...
And there's Banksy, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I was leading up to that, because, I mean, obviously, having lived in Bristol for years and years and years, I grew quite fond of my Banksy graffiti. And
artist, Peter.
Have you heard of Banksy?
But it is interesting in tagging stuff and all that kind of stuff. And as a matter of fact, if you said to me as a taxpayer, why don't we have some spots set up in Central Park that look like handball courts but aren't actually handball courts, and let people go over there and do whatever they want, and then let it stay there for a month or so, then wipe it clean, and then let another bunch of people come in and do it. My only objection is that, and it's not as much as it used to be, but, I mean, these people made a terrible mess of this city, and it's taken us years and years to really clean it up now.
Fair point. As ever, well made. Gabriella, any questions or thoughts?
Oh my God, we digress so much that I was just like, what is going on now? Because first it was addiction, then it was graffiti.
And I'm going to move on to a couple of favourites to conclude this particular case. Con Edison, electric company, asked electricity customers in Harlem, important here, Harlem, to avoid using non-essential appliances like washers, dryers, dishwashers and extra lights because of problems with electric cables. Your thoughts, Peter?
non-essential to whom? You know, in other words, I guess that means that black people can go down to the stream and wash their clothes in the river.
We've got the Hudson, I suppose, really, haven't you? It's
not really. Just the wording of the announcement, you know, and also the fact that it singled out, you know, that particular community, which is, of course, predominantly black, you know, you could say it's a very racist thing. No, it wasn't a racist thing. It was a very stupid thing. Mm. It was a stupid thing to single out a particular community, which happens to be pretty much of similar types of people. But, you know, just the wording, you know, somehow, you know, you don't need a refrigerator and you don't need a washing machine. Wow. You don't need a television set because
it's winter. You know, what do you need a refrigerator for in winter? You know, goodness sakes. Yeah, and my favourite, I have to say, for this particular thing, Russia forbidding the import of New York City state yogurt.
Yeah, well, it's a big industry in New York.
It's the Olympic Games in Russia.
Yeah, well, but if you really analyse it, again, sometimes the media tries to make something out of something it isn't. Every country has agricultural laws, which they do not permit foods to be just imported. I mean, if you wanted to sell some English food here, you'd have to go through a tremendous rigmarole to get all kinds of permits and what have you. And by the way, what flies in Colorado may not necessarily fly in New Jersey.
How true those words are.
This is very true.
You know, to attribute to some master scheme by the KGB and have our two senators carry on, and then upon close examination, you find that this particular yogurt company happens to make large political contributions to the two senators, you say, why are they going out of their way to turn us in? You know, I'm just waiting for them to contact the Pentagon and say we ought to go to war with Russia over it. I spent many, many years of my life in the Army. As a matter of fact, a total of 39. That's a long time of both active and reserve. And all I ever heard was how evil the Russians are, and we prepared in every possible way to kill as many Russians as we could. Now, years later,
did you not send in the yogurt? Surely.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be the ultimate weapon.
Years later, meeting contemporaries of mine who were in the Russian army, they said that's the same thing they were told, that we were evil, and we should be killed, and we're horrible, and we're things. So it's that same nonsense again, where you're having an Olympics and you're trying to indict the Russian people for what?
Yeah, I just can't wrap my head around why you would even fly yogurt.
Yeah, that's because you're German, Nikki. That's because you're German. We don't talk about that.
Some of the senators are actually claiming if the athletes didn't have the yogurt, that it was unfair because they might lose their competitive edge. Mm-hmm.
Yogurt is
big in Colorado.
It is. Boulder's the home for yogurt, you know, and herbal teas. Yeah. So
And Mork and Mindy.
There you are. We're out there.
Fantastic stuff. Peter, as ever, and we have to ask you, did you manage to cope with the Arctic vortex? Because you had it pretty tough in New York for a wee while, didn't you?
We had a pretty tough what?
Pretty tough in New York, the Arctic vortex, the weather. You had some, or at least...
Oh, yes. Yes. I think you must have gotten a new phone since last we talked. The fact of the matter is, you know, it is cold. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a blizzard again. They're calling for about 8 inches of snow. But, you know, again, I have to be the cynic who says, don't talk to me about snow and cold weather in New York City where every building is heated, everybody has a coat, everybody has, you know, I mean, in other words, this is not exactly, I mean, I remember the days when I wanted to visit Colorado. I had to go there, you know, in a wagon, and my horses, and it used to take me like around 4 months to get to Colorado.
Absolutely.
And when was that?
Then you could complain about the cold. Now, if I wanted to go to Colorado, I could be there in about 3 hours. So what's all the complaining about?
And as long as you can put up with the Denver International Airport, you're good to go.
Would you like to hear my imitation of a person who's just ran to catch a bus in Denver?
Go. Yeah, sure. It's the high altitude.
Nicely done. I think it was genius. Peter, have you had a reasonably interesting return to the midweek drive? Has it been good for you?
I have had a time filled with multiple fantasies.
Oh, my. Wow.
There we are. Gabriella, next question, please.
Will you be connecting with us again?
Oh, of course.
Great.
It's going to happen. Peter Franklin will return. Don't forget Gabby.com, the website to go to, including Joke du Jour and indeed a website of the day. And just keep on keeping on. Round of applause for Peter Franklin.
Yay! My pleasure. Everybody have a wonderful day.